and Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by Defnet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on tonight's podcast, we bring you...
There's a sale at the Royal Standard.
And Kung Hei Fat Choi. All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News this week. Ian, I hear that... Well, news this week is congratulations to Paul Rooney as he wins the Northern Art Prize. I believe a cheque for £16,500 is winging its way to him. What a fantastic result for a Liverpool artist.
That's pretty good, that, isn't it? Yeah, it's a nice big prize. I haven't seen the work that's in the show, unfortunately. Do you know what it is?
I don't. But, you know, it's going to be pretty outstanding if he's won the Northern Art Prize for it. I did read the release earlier on today, but completely slips me by. But that's a hell of a result. He's got some work in the Tate at the moment in the... Ideas Taking Space show, that great cinematic kind of piece. He's a few years ago he won the Comcar Art Prize, which was a kind of another Manchester-based organisation. He won the art prize there. Result.
Yeah, and he's got work in the Blue Coat as well at the moment, so the Liverpool Artists Next Up exhibition. It's great. There was Paul Rooney and Imogen Sidworthy, also based in Liverpool. Out of the four on the shortlist, we mentioned this before, so it's two Liverpool artists there, and good that one of them won. And yeah, and also they both do like audio visual stuff as well, so interesting.
It's where it's at, you know, this audio visual stuff.
New media.
And of course, after the work that he's done in the Tate, it was kind of like I was chatting to a mutual friend of ours. I was saying, well, you know, this is... What's the next thing he's going to do? He's clearly going to, you know, he's going to be heading off to Hollywood. He's going to be making some movies.
Really? Is he? No, you know him better than me.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying, you know, but we're just kind of, you know, imagining what he's going to do next.
Has he been nominated for the Turner Prize at all? Maybe he should be in that.
I think he should be nominated for the Turner Prize. Lewis, if you're listening, nominate Paul Rooney for the Turner Prize. That'd be really good. So, well, that's, once again, congratulations to Paul and the family. Mine's a pint of bitter. Ian, what's yours?
Same, yeah.
Okay, so that is really good news. And at the show's it's on in Leeds, at the Leeds Art Gallery, and the exhibition continues until the 1st of February, so you'll be able to nip along to Leeds, find out about that show, go along and see it. Now, and I'm sure Ian will have some stuff on the blog, or he has already got some stuff on the blog about it. Now, also in the news this week, Ian, Super Lamb Bananas... Most important creative innovation of the past year. Well, what's this about? What really?
Yes, according to Phil Redmond. I just thought I'd mention this because I've just put it on the blog today. Yeah, Phil Redmond has nominated Go Superland Bananas as the most important creative innovation of the past year. And yeah, like you, I laughed when I heard this. But then I did struggle to actually think of anything else. It's a national thing. It's not just Liverpool. So somebody nominated Amy Winehouse. and this is part of a thing called, or organised by a thing called Cabinet, which is set up by the government sometime last year. It's fairly new, Quango or whatever. Cabinet, but the A is replaced by a plus sign to make it, because it's inclusive or something. And it's something to do with, it's a network which links the international, creative and commercial communities to inspire new ideas and opportunities, demonstrate the economic power of creativity and help shape the world's creative economy. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Are you reading it?
No, I remember that word for word. And yet, so they actually emailed me about this today because I hadn't noticed it, but by coincidence, I had just today read something else about this Cabinet thing where on another blog, I think it was, someone was complaining because they sort of go around the country and have wine and dine these creative entrepreneurs and people, and they spend like £60,000 on a meal for a few heads of industry or whatever, and so they're complaining about that. But yeah, I suppose you do have to wine and dine. 60,000 still a lot.
But what do you think? What do you think? Is it the most, you know, the most creative, the most important creative innovation of the past year? I mean, and surely Superland Bananas have been around for 10 years. Well, you know, the one Superland Banana. So therefore, is it, you know, a creative innovation of the past year? Or is it, you know, what he's putting forward, the fact that this is such a great idea, you know, taking these round, I don't know, you know, having community organisations paint them and then exhibit them around the city and this and that. It's not exactly a new idea. I mean, there's the Cow Parade in Manchester and in other parts of the country as well.
Oh, that's right, yeah, there have been the other ones, haven't there? Yeah, in Manchester, and there was Elephants in Ipswich as well, I think. But yeah, the actual Land Bananas may have been here 10 years, but it was the actual Go Super Land Bananas that we had last year, which was over 100 Land Bananas. And yes, I think his point was that it was this bringing together of the Land Bananas, the artists, and certainly the public were really, and business, and the public were really engaged. They all loved it. The community involvement, the children involved, all the schools were going around drawing them and ticking them off their lists and so on. So it was all, it was a big, it was successful in that way. And as I say, I'm, you know, what else was there that sort of did all that, you know?
Well, I suppose we're agreeing with him then, aren't we? We are, you know, we've argued ourselves around. We're thinking, well, you know, well, actually, I think he's right. It is, well, certainly in Liverpool and, you know, possibly around the country. I mean, I don't necessarily know. I mean, you know, I live in Liverpool, work in Manchester. I don't know. I haven't necessarily experienced other kinds of participatory, you know, experiences for people of, you know, a city across the country. So maybe he's right. And, you know, and if so, then let's hope that it wins.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's an award. I think it's just that this cabinet has a website and there's a blog on it, and they were invited some of the members of this cabinet to suggest what they think it should be. So I don't know how it's going to work, whether they'll have a result or a vote at the end. Another point is that I think Phil Redmond's thought it was so successful that I think he is keen to do more of based on this idea. So in that sense, I suppose it is an important innovation, if it's a catalyst to go on and carry on that sort of thing.
So we will be having Super Land Bananas 2009?
Or Super something, maybe.
Super Phil Redmond's?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the news this week. If you'd like to find out, read more news about the arts in Liverpool, then you can always go to www.artinliverpool.com/blog. It's Ian's special blog. Award-winning, I might add. And that's the news this week. Roundup of the week. Roundup of the week. Ian, what's been going on this week? You've been to various different places. But first of all, we should say, send our congratulations, not to Paul Rooney, but to Phil Key, as he retires after 40 years of service at the Daily Post. A brilliant art editor. I've only known him about 18 of those years. But great guy.
Yes, very good. He's been ill for a while, hasn't he? And now he's recovered okay, but he's retiring after 40 years. And so there was an article about it all in, I think it was Friday's Daily Post. And so he was going over a bit of the history of his time there. And I hadn't realised he'd started off as an industrial correspondent and even snuck into some strike meeting that was supposed to be closed to the press and voted in favour of the strike at Halewood's, I think. And then, yeah, eventually went on to what he really wanted to do was the reporting on the culture. And, yeah, I've always found his stuff really, really good, really interesting, certainly knowledgeable. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll miss him.
Yeah, we will. I mean, he always cuts quite a dash at the art exhibitions, you know, the private views that I see him at, you know, tall, hat, moustache. It's kind of like a very distinctive-looking chap.
Yeah, distinctive, yeah. But I found he never... He seems to just turn up and then take his notes and talk to the artist and maybe and go again. He didn't seem to socialise with everybody else that much. But I've only known him the last couple of years. Well, I've been, you know, 4 years, I suppose. Well, I've been going around. So I believe he was a lot more sociable in the earlier days.
Yeah, well, you know, as you're getting older, you do tend to take it a little bit easier. But, well, you know, we wish him all the best and happy retirement. And, you know, that's... Maybe, you know, whatever he's planning on doing next in his retirement, playing golf or fishing or whatever.
He does say he will be still posting the odd article, I think, in the paper, or doing something occasionally with the Daily Post. And although the page in the Post still says Phil Key's diary, I think it's actually Vicky Anderson has been doing it for a while, and she's been doing a pretty good job. So I think she'll do well to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, she's nice too. Lovely person to talk to. Now, moving on to rounding up this week. Where have you been? Well, you haven't been anywhere? No, no, go on, tell us where you've been.
Yeah, we've had a fairly busy week. Yeah, there's a couple of viewings. There was one at 3345 Parr Street in the bar up there. There's a photographic exhibition by a guy from Venezuela called Cesar Gonzalez Serpa. And the exhibition is called The Essential, It's Invisible. And this is something to do with light. There are, all the photographs are quite dark. They're portraits, and the faces have quite often been painted, like dye from vegetables, so it's organic and not going to cause dermatitis or whatever. But it puts them on a long exposure. It sets up his camera on a tripod, has like a 20-second exposure, and while it's there, he sort of runs around with a torch or something like that, a small torch, and waves it around, and so you get unusual lighting and also these like sort of white light stripes across, and so it's interesting. It's sort of drawing with lights as well as getting the photograph.
Time-based media.
Ah, okay, yeah.
That sounds really good. And it was one of your artworks of the week last week, I believe. That sounds really good. I ought to go down and have a look. Down 33-45. It's a pub. I might be encouraged to have a drink. And that's on till the 8th of March. It does sound worthwhile going along and have a look. Now, also, you've been. What was this? Last Thursday. Last Thursday, you were at the Kerry Hand Gallery for S. Mark Gubb. How was that?
That's right, yes. It was quite interesting. When you go in, there doesn't seem a lot there. There's like posters on, quite simple posters on the wall. They're just printed onto newspaper. What do you call it? Newsprint. Is that right? And just pasted onto the wall. But then in the middle of the gallery, there's three. It's a wooden construction, and it's in three sections. And it's based on this. About small confined spaces. And so the first one is like a sort of shack you'll find in a shanty town, which has actually been built from stuff that he's just found on the streets of Liverpool. I think it's 2 meter square or something. And then you go through to a slightly larger space, but still very small, and that's more like a cage. It's got like wired walls, and that represents similar to like a holding cage in Guantanamo Bay or one of the other US places. And then you go through to another wooden construction, which is a lot narrower but taller, and that represents the sort of, if you had like a burial ground, it's sort of, if you had three coffins on top of each other, that would be what you can imagine your space in that. And which references a title, actually, My Empire of Dirt, it's called. And so yes, it's just all about space, confined space, and that sort of stuff, with political connotations as well.
The passage through life. Yeah. That's until the 28th of February. I must pop along and have a look.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's difficult to describe, and difficult to say that. And it doesn't look that wonderful as a thing to look at, but you just have to experience. You can go in and you can walk through these spaces, obviously, and come out the other side, and then look at the posters and look at the originals of the posters as well. There's a separate room where the originals are, and they you can see they've been beautifully hand painted. Although they look like just they've been done on a computer maybe or a printing press, they've actually been hand painted.
Brilliant. Okay, I quite like the idea of walking inside and feeling what it's like to be inside a coffin. Okay. Maybe not. Okay, and what's also this week, we've had the Bring Your Own Art at the Tate. Now, I'd done something especially to take down, and it came to Sunday, and I was going, no, I won't. But how was it?
Oh, well, we're more hardy than you, aren't we? we made it down there a bit late, though, in the day, in the afternoon. It was interesting. It was popular. A lot of people there. So yeah, the idea was anybody could just take along a work of art. It didn't even need to be something they'd done themselves. It just maybe a favourite painting of theirs that had been on their wall for years. They could take that along. And if you took it between 10 and 12 in the morning, they would hang it there on the fourth floor as part of the fifth floor exhibition. And so then you could say you'd hung your work in the Tate.
And would you get to photograph it and go, hey, there's my work. Yeah, it was in the Tate.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. One or two artists thought ahead and brought little labels of their names and titles on, but not many had. So nearly all of them were anonymous. And sort of, it was just on temporary wooden structures. Just I have mixed feelings about this because a lot of the work wasn't very good, obviously. It was just amateurs, I suppose. But, well, not good or not, you know, there's different standards, isn't there? Not the sort of thing you'd normally have in a Tate, an established gallery like Tate. So, but then again, it was up on the top floor. It was free, so no one's forcing you to go and see it. So it's still separate from the more high art you've got Turner's on the ground floor and Picasso's and so on the first and second floor. So it was separate from that. So it was good in a way. But yeah, I think I'd. like my Tate and Walker to be more elitist. Snobby of me.
Because there was a number of years ago they were thinking about having a, or somebody was thinking and that they'd taken the idea. And I'm not sure what happened with the idea. It certainly wasn't, I don't think it was the Tate's idea. They were going to have something called Tate House. And this was going to be based out somewhere near Garston, somewhere like this. And that was exactly going to be the purpose of it. It was Tate House, Little Tate, something like that. And they were going to show like local people's work, but in a building which they went, you know, little. This is the Little Tate House. Come in, have a look. And it's like, I quite like it. That's kind of, you know, there's taking that you know, the brand of Tate and giving it back to, almost back to the people, which, you know, art is about. It's about letting people experience the art and et cetera.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I hadn't heard of that. Yeah, I mean, and for sure. Short period every so often, every year maybe, yeah, just have a weekend every year and or something like that.
A mad weekend. And so I assume then that the Tate are producing a catalogue.
I don't think so. It was funny because it was just in this area. If you've been there, you'll have seen the area. When it opened, they had a kids' disco there the opening day, and it's been used for various things like that, T-shirts and fashion shows and things. And so they put these wooden structures up, and they'd sort of made a square of it so that it was almost hiding. You had to go inside to see a lot of the artwork. So it was almost as if they're embarrassed to show it at all, but you know, they had to. It was interesting in that way. But yeah, there were loads of people there, and quite a few people brought their stuff. And also, I think like from about 12 till 2, the artists who brought their stuff in had like a picnic and discussed things. And so it was an interesting, it was good as a, from a social point of view as well.
It's good. I mean, it's, you know, it's a bit like following on from the transition weekend's events, where it's, you know, everybody flocked to the galleries afterwards for various different experiences. It's another good way of bringing people into the gallery spaces and getting them to experience that, okay, they're upstairs on the top floor and they've brought their own piece of artwork in, and that's quite good fun. At the same time, it's kind of, you know, they'll come back and have a look at the other exhibitions that are on. It's a good way of bringing people in.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Big thumbs up to the Tate for that. Now, that was on Sunday, but also, was it at Music for Sleeping at the Blue Coat? What's this about? I mean, I listened to Music for Sleeping myself. It's called Radio 2. No, it's not. It's called Radio 3. Music for Sleeping, what's that about?
Yeah, I've put this on the blog, actually. This was later on Sunday. There were two shows. It was on at 5 o'clock and one in about 8 o'clock on Sunday at the Blue Coat in the performance room. And it was called Music for Sleeping. We talked about it last week, I think, by Amos, a local musician. And so they had mats on the floor and nice, quite soft mats, you know, the sort of thing you do aerobics or yoga or whatever.
I don't know those kind of mats. I don't do anything like that.
No, you haven't been inside a gymnasium at all. No. But as I said on the blog, you certainly couldn't sleep through it. I expected it to be a lot more mellow, and it was sort of ambient techno, whatever, but quite industrial and with really deep bass in some points and really high-pitched in some points, and maybe we did make this mistake of lying with our heads quite near the speakers as well. but the whole building was vibrating, so it was interesting. You know, you wouldn't normally be lying down to listen to this sort of music, and so you could feel your whole body vibrating, and your hair and everything was vibrating. And he obviously knows his stuff, and so sometimes you'd have the vibration waves going one way and it suddenly stop and seem to go another way. It was interesting that way, but you certainly couldn't sleep to it. So as we were lying down, there was a screen on the ceiling, and Sam Meach and Pete Bamford had done the visuals for that, so you just lie there and watch the visuals and but not sleep.
Well, you know, maybe you weren't really meant to sleep. So that was by Amos at the Blue Coat, and so that's the roundup of the week. Sale at the Royal Standard. Go and buy your artworks. Sale this week. Sale at the Royal Standard. Ian, what's the sale at the Royal Standard? What are they doing? What's they're selling the place off? What's going on? There's work for sale. Of course there's work for sale. What is it? An art superstore. I was talking about an art superstore. Do you remember when on Park Road in the Dingle, they took over the Quick Save, group of artists took over the Quick Save there, and it was kind of like they made it kind of a little... No, okay. No.
Quick Save, no.
Yeah, okay, you don't. Okay, well, that was a kind of like sale, you know, art sale kind of thing. That was really good. God, that was a long time ago. Anyway, sale at the Royal Standard, what's this about?
Yeah, it's a sale at the Royal Standard. So I think they've just got loads and loads of artists to bring along work. There's a full list on the website. I haven't got it here. But yeah, just loads and loads of works. So I'll read it. It says, they're transforming their white-walled galleries, the Royal Standard, into an art superstore stocked with hundreds of artworks, including a vibrant array of paintings, sculpture, drawing, film, intervention. Can you buy an intervention? And photography selected from the most exciting, emerging and more established artists from across the UK and beyond.
I like it. I like the idea. I like the art superstore. I like that. I think that's where the art is heading.
Yes, it's an anti-credit crunch measure.
And also, everywhere is for sale at the moment. Or not everywhere is for sale. I went past the Students' Union on Maryland Street, and it's no longer Students' Union. It's Union Sale. Hey, it's for sale.
Really? Union Sale. Wow. Yeah, so this is on Thursday. Well, there's a viewing on Thursday. They said get along there early. 4 o'clock it starts. So get in there early on Thursday, the 22nd of January, and buy up all the bargains. But then it does run until the 28th of February.
I wonder if they've been to Woolworths and bought up all the shelves and or baskets and things so that you can go through them, flicking through. Oh, yeah, I like that one. Yeah, how much is that one? Oh, yeah, I'll have that one, yeah.
That's a good idea, that, yeah. I mean, I don't really shop much at Woolies much, but that would have been an idea to go along and actually buy that sort of thing. Yeah, the shelves and baskets and stuff. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I quite like that. I quite like that experience.
Too late now.
Too late. Yeah, it is too late. Woolworths is closed. But that's art sale, and that's until the 28th of February. Okay, well, that sounds really well worth getting along. Anything for a bargain, me. Also coming up this week is Brothers in Arts.
Yeah, Brothers in Arts. It's View 2. Opens on, Friday evening, the 23rd, from 6:30 onwards. And there'll be some music. Someone's playing a piano. These are the Evans brothers, Tony Evans, who's quite well known in Liverpool. He does sculptures from metal. They're actually made from domestic plumbing bits and pieces. He's just done that big Pegasus on the outside wall of the Community College Arts Centre just up in Myrtle Street. And he's got his works all over the place. He's doing well. But there's his two older brothers, Dave and Stan. I've also, they've all retired now, and they've always been into art throughout their lives, but it's only since they retired they've really started doing it seriously and started going to night school and college and so on. And so it's the first time the three of them have exhibited together just on with their own exhibition, and that's a View 2. Actually, Dave, the oldest one, Dave Evans, his career was at Littlewood's Mail Order. And he was there at the time in the 40s when, you know, they used to produce the mail order catalogue, but everything was hand-drawn. You know, now it's all photographs. They didn't do photographs then. Everything was hand-drawn. So, you know, you'd have, like, standard shapes for women and men and have to draw on the different clothes and or handbags and so on.
In every catalogue?
No, just the one they get. They would get them printed, but yeah, they obviously needed a big team of drawers, yeah, illustrators.
God, that must have been some job. Well, that's probably quite good.
But then he went into photography. He actually supervised all the shots of the lingerie and swimwear and stuff. And they had some really top models, like, forgotten the names. Anyway, top models.
Yeah, top models of the day.
Yes. I think you mentioned Kate Moss. Who's the other one? Oh, I can't remember.
Okay, well, that's
Mick Jagger's wife.
Bianca.
No, not her.
I know the one you mean. Yeah. It's not... Struggling to remember Mick Jagger's wife. Jade, no. I can picture her.
No, I can't. Well, probably thin and tall.
Jerry Hall.
Jerry Hall, that's the one.
Yep, Jerry Hall. Oh, there you go. Thank goodness we managed to remember that. Oh, right. So that's really interesting. So you used to work at Littlewood's and do that. Well, what a great, you know, started off illustrating and then, okay, I'm head photographer. I'm doing this.
Artistic director, in fact, yes.
I like it.
He didn't have to go to all those photo shoots. He just went along all around the world as well. He just, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Well, somebody has to do it.
It's a hard job. If there are any jobs out there doing that, please do let Ian and I know. Okay, also coming up this week, later on this week, All Together Now.
Your singing hasn't improved since last week. When we mentioned this, this is the thing at Novas CUC on Saturday. All day Saturday, 10 till 5. The Northwest TUC have organised a thing called All Together Now. And it's lots and lots of talks and is it workshops or just talks? Discussions to do with Capital of Culture awaits and where do you go from here and art and money and that sort of thing.
If you're going along to the sale at the Royal Standard, don't forget to come along here and then you can discuss your bargains and art and money. Art and money, there's a lot of interesting connections there. And always has been here in Liverpool, art and money. So that's on Saturday. Now, I'm going down. If anybody comes along, do come along and say hi. I'll be the person running around with a microphone of some kind and hoping to be able to pick up the sound from various different discussions going on in various different places. So do pop down and say hello. Are you going down?
Yeah, we're planning to go as well, yes, because we've got our office there still. So if the talks get too boring, we can always pop into the office and it doesn't work.
Okay, so that's coming up this week. Kung Hei Fat Choi. That's if you're listening to this next week. But of course, this is further ahead. And it's Chinese New Year this Sunday, the 25th of January. What's going on, Ian? Kung Hei Fat Choi to you.
Kung Hei Fat Choi.
I'm not sure. Hopefully that's okay. You're not. Hopefully that's still good luck. You know, saying it before the actual event, hopefully. No, we're after a quick translation from somebody who's... Something to do with making money. We're after a quick translation from somebody who's Japanese. Don't ask the logic of it, please. Okay.
Nearly all of these Chinese things are to do with prosperity, aren't they? Making money and so on. And actually, this year coming up is the year of the ox. Ox or cow or bull or any bovine creature. Which is also the sign of prosperity through courage and hard work. So this is obviously our year ahead. We'll be working hard and we're courageous. It's a powerful sign of a born leader being quite dependable and possessing an innate ability to achieve great things. Oh, definitely our year.
I'm Taurian.
Sorry?
I'm a Taurian, you know, the bull.
I'm a Virgo. Well, that means, yeah. So you do the hard work and I'll check it's okay.
In fact, I am a monkey bull. I'm actually a monkey. I'm not a bull. Well, I kind of like monkey bull. Monkey is my Chinese star sign, but bull obviously is my whatever star sign.
I think you're talking bull. I'm a dragon, which is supposed to be good. I don't know. So yes, I think the actual day is the 26th. The actual New Year's Day is the 26th. But anyway, they always do the procession through Chinatown and so on the Sunday. So that's this Sunday, the 25th. And starts about 11:30 and goes on to about 4:00. It used to be quite quick, but it gets bigger every year. More and more people go and watch it every year, and it takes a long time to get along. So I think they come up Duke Street and along Berry Street and then back again to the archway is down Nelson Street and all around that area, Great Georgia Street. And every so often they stop and set off firecrackers, and there's the dragon and the lion and chasing things and climbing up the side of the Chinese restaurants, the Yuet Ben and so on. And it's all good fun, and you get freezing cold, and hope the weather's going to be okay.
Yeah, and it's always mad in town, isn't it? There is always loads going on, but there's thousands and thousands of people come along.
Yeah, you'd think they'd get, we've been every year so many years, but we have to go again, and you'd think get fed up with it, but no, people just love to go out and see things, don't they?
They do, which is good, which is why they were down at the Taison last week.
Apart from the Sunday, there are some things on the Saturday as well, and throughout the week. If you look on the Arts Nipples website, there is a link to the Chinese community website. I can't remember what the address is. So there's all kinds of classes and workshops you can go to and play Mahjong and stuff like that. And I should mention that there's also information about this in the new 09 events guide. You remember throughout 2008, the Culture Company put out quarterly guides, so the four... one for each quarter. They did decide to carry on at least into the beginning of this year, so that's out now, 09, for January to March, and it looks a bit thin compared to last year, but actually I think the first one last year was a bit quiet, a bit thinner than usual. It's still got the Ars Nipple art map, but there's still quite a lot of stuff, and obviously so it talks about this Chinese New Year and Corbusier, which is finished now, of course, and other stuff. So yeah, we'll pick that up at the tourist information place, the OA place, which is now called Liverpool Visitor Information Centre, I think.
And what's the Liverpool08.com website called now?
It's still the same, and it's not getting updated much. It's still got the Corbusier as its main thing, and if you click on the news section, it just goes up to December 2008. So I don't know. I think the visitliverpool.com seems to have more information on it now. They seem to be updating that more than they used to with events. So maybe that's the place to go.
09, that's a lovely looking publication with a big dragon on the front. So that's Chinese New Year this Sunday, and pick up your Liverpool events guide from the Liverpool Visitor Information Centre place on Whitechapel. Thank you very much. Okay, well, Ian, that's before we both settle down to watch the Culture Show special, we'd like to say thank you. I'd like to say thank you very much for taking part this evening, and thank you very much, and...
Thank you. See you again next week.
And thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Thanks for downloading from DeafNet Media, podcasting for your pleasure.